MoneyWeb at midday for all your up-to-date stories.
Now, this is a worrying turn of events. Energy-dependent industries are sounding the alarm and sounding it loudly. Soaring electricity prices are forcing operations to consider shrinking, shuttering, or at least face mass retrenchments. From a 23% drop in energy use to hundreds of job losses looming in regional smelters, the pain is real. So let's find out what the exact situation is. And someone who is as close to it as anyone is Fanele Monde, who's Chief Executive Officer of the Energy Intensive Users Group. Fanele, a very warm welcome to you. And maybe before we talk about the issue, just give us a sense of the Energy Intensive Users Group. Who do you represent?
Good afternoon, Jeremy. Thanks for giving us an opportunity. We represent large power consumers who are mainly in the mining and industry space, but we do have others in the lower end in the manufacturing side, as well as the data centers. We want to believe that the constituents overall we represent is anything between 35% and 40% consumers of electricity in South Africa, in as much as our members are not necessarily all 30% to 40% consumers, but it's more than half of that who are directly our members.
And all of these organizations, of course, make a significant contribution to the economy. So let's get to the issue now, if we can. How exactly are rising electricity costs impacting the operations of your members?
These have been really brutal, Jeremy. As you know, if you look just perusing through the Eskom annual report, the increase of electricity in 2008 to 2024 is almost 8-fold. We were having an average price increase of 20 cents or 19.9 cents to be specific per kilowatt hour in 2008. Now we are sitting in 2024 financial year at 1.65 cents. You know, so this is really a huge increase, which makes it really difficult for any economy to absorb. As well as if you check the pace at which we have been increasing, it just makes it difficult to adjust. Some of these companies, their consumption ranges specifically on the ferroalloy side, around 40 to 60% cost of electricity to their total production. So these increases are really driving them off the business. Speaking about ferroalloys, you know, since around about 2014 till now, we lost about 10 of those. As a result, we are only left with 4. And all of them are taking a very serious challenge with the costs. And they have tried the NPAs, which is the negotiated pricing agreements, a special pricing agreement with Eskom. But even so, they are still taking a lot of pressure in terms of their operations.
And Fanele, as these companies take on that pressure, I would imagine the human cost for communities around these giant operations is enormous.
It definitely will be, because it's not only limited to the direct employees. It covers the indirect employees and, like you're correctly saying, the communities around, you know, who also make some kind of income based on those operations. So the situation is really bad.
So it's fair to say then that power prices are probably a bigger threat to profitability than any kind of market swing that we're seeing in commodities.
I wouldn't know exactly in terms of the, I'm not an economist by training, but certainly it is a significant contributor. There is no doubt about it.
With talk of retrenchment then, is there a sense that some of the companies that you represent are maybe exiting completely, considering exiting completely, or at the very least surrendering their operating licenses?
There is that talk. I'm not so close into in terms of that, but certainly when we look broadly, these are some of the considerations where some may consider closing down either part of the operations or, like you're saying, the whole operations. Because, like I'm saying, in the ferroalloy space, you know, already 10 have since disappeared in the past, you know, 10 years. So there is no guarantee that the 4 remaining will be able to continue. I must also add that all efforts are being tried to try to do the best that can be done to save the situation.
And part of those efforts, I would imagine, would be continual engagement either with Eskom or the regulator. Is that at any point producing any concrete solutions? Are you holding out any hope there?
It's a very difficult one, Jeremy, but it's not only Eskom and NERSA, but they also involve policy makers, that is the government themselves. But I am not directly exposed to that, so I will not be able to comment. But yes, the engagements are ongoing.
What kind of policy change would the energy intensive users group be advocating for?
At this point, we believe that one of the things we need to consider is it's a competitive tariff. That will make it possible for us to compete with the other, you know, competitors in the global space. This is something we are considering, or rather discussing with Eskom, to say how do we make sure that we pay our dues in terms of our costs to Eskom, but also we get some kind of leverage in terms of us maintaining our operations. So at this point, we have not firmed up in terms of how we're going to look at that. But the other view, which is out there, is the need for a more clearly defined, what you call it, a subsidy framework. Because as you may know, currently some of these big these operations, the large power users are paying a significant portion of their tariff towards subsidies to try to improve the situation around the accessibility and affordability for low-income households. But this is proving obviously to be a bit of a burden as we speak. So those are some of the issues we think we need to talk about.
Ideally, and without giving away competitive advantage, what would a better tariff look like for your users?
No, at this stage, Jeremy, I really don't have an answer. It's like I was saying, we're still applying our minds. We're still engaging the relevant stakeholders. And as an association, because of Competition Act purposes, we do not get into that detail in terms of the actual prices.
But let me come at it from a different angle. I understand that you're engaging at the moment, but time is of the essence here. You need a solution sooner rather than later. If you don't, what's the broader consequence going to be for that users group?
The reality is that some of the members may go under if there is no solution that is found. That's how bad it is.
It's a very troubling situation. Fanele Mondi, thank you very much indeed for talking to me, the Chief Executive Officer of the Energy Intensive Users Group. I do appreciate your time.